reduce the spread, which is clearly not how this works. And we're about to go through this because this is what the CDC is now saying. This is according to the New York Post. Masks protect wearers and others from COVID-19. So it went from the fact that masks do everything all the time, or, you know, being facetious, but that, you know, masks protect you and fight off viruses, to then suddenly, well, no, they only protect grandma, and it's about reducing the spread. And now they've come all the way back again and said, no, we were right the first time, and now it does help everybody. And realize the one thing that hasn't changed through all of this is the information, the research. Because they continued to know this stuff and research this stuff all the way up until COVID-19. Numerous random controlled trials, numerous meta-analysis. In fact, meta-analysis right into it. Here's one from May 5th in the CDC that says the exact opposite, but we'll get to that in a minute. Right? All of that. And yet now they're changing it again based on literally nothing but new conclusions based on the information that says exactly opposite of what they're claiming. I mean, and of course, right now what I'm going to show you is all the things they point to make their points are not random controlled trials, are observational or in-lab tests of mannequins and computer models. Do you realize how dumb that is, that we're pointing to the random controlled trials, the gold standard, from them? And they come back with computer models and say, no, you're fake news. Here's the new thing we just did in the lab 20 minutes ago. And it turns your stomach how obviously corrupt these people are. Now, of course, it says the CDC's new guidance updated its previous assertion that the main benefit of wearing a mask was to prevent those infected from spreading the bug to others, which, just again, is illogical when you really break it down. But it says, especially if combined with other non-pharmaceutical interventions, such as social distancing, hand hygiene, and adequate ventilation. And as always, one of the main points, there's a lot of them here, is they make the case that, well, it works, but especially when you combine it with all these other things that have historically always shown an effect, right? If you are distanced away from somebody, if you're constantly washing your hands, these things have always shown to have an effect. So when you combine those with masks, well, you're going to suddenly see an effect of masks, but it wasn't really the masks. It was the other things that have always shown an effect. And that's why they constantly combine all of them and pretend like the mask is what's making the difference. And it's really dishonest. And of course, all of that on top of this is just simply new observational information. It really is insulting to our intelligence. But of course, this is what they cite. So here's the New York Post. This is what they're citing. This is the new thing, November 10th, right here. Now it says, cloth masks. Again, I mean, I couldn't believe it when I saw that they're still driving. And remember when I already showed you that the CDC actually altered its page. Even though the page said cloth masks, then they changed it to make it not say cloth masks anymore. Because they were pushing cloth masks in every scenario, despite the fact that cloth masks increased your risk of infection, according to the NIH and the National Library of Medicine. So they just removed it. And that was very obvious. Sort of how this is very obvious, that they just remove things because they don't want you to see it. And now they say it again, and they say they push cloth masks back in. Scientific Brief. So, first of all, not a study. Scientific Brief, this is going over other studies they point to, but this is what's being pointed to instead of the studies, because the CDC says. Understand, this is what people are taught, that you're not allowed to challenge them. Or the World Health Organization, which makes no sense. That's not an intellectual, honest, intelligent discussion. That's control. I mean, I was going to end with this, but just perfect time to point it out. Right here, I would rather have questions that can't be answered than answers that can't be questioned. It's a fantastic quote. Rich, I'm not even familiar with the person, but this is an incredibly on-point thing to say right now. Because everybody wants all the answers, and we're never going to have all the answers. But what's happening is they're turning in to situations where there's answers that literally cannot be questioned as like an answer to that. Well, here it is. Here's the answer, and that's it. No more. No more discussion. But that's just not the case. Now, let's just start with this, since I've shown it many times, because we're already talking about cloth masks, and I want this to be in your head as we go through it. All right, this is from 2015. Okay? U.S. National Library of Medicine, National Institute of Health. Okay? A randomized trial of cloth masks compared with medical masks in healthcare workers. Okay? It says, the aim of the study was to compare the efficacy of cloth masks to the medical masks in hospital healthcare workers. A null hypothesis is that there is no difference between the two, meaning that there very clearly is, and that they show that here. But this is exactly what you would want to find out. Random controlled trial, a huge study, done exactly on the contrast and whether or not they're effective versus the control arm. That's huge. That's literally the opposite of what they're pointing to here. Okay? And they come to the conclusion. The rates of all infection outcomes were highest in the cloth mask arm. The rate of influenza-like illness, which is similar to COVID, despite the fact that they're saying now they're using COVID-like illness and can and then blending that with the flu and pneumonia, which makes literally no sense because they just continued to claim that it was different. And that's influenza. That's not COVID. You're totally wrong. But now they're blending COVID on CDC, calling it CLI, COVID-like illness, and blending them. I mean, it's just, it's insulting to your intelligence that they continue to scream at you and let all the morons on Twitter freak out at you online about, you don't understand what you're talking about, and then they just go and change it. If they're now saying corona-like illness and blending pneumonia and flu with coronavirus, well, then you could easily consider the fact that these studies that were done in regard to the flu are going to be applicable, especially since they transmit in the same way. Now, it says, the rate of influenza-like illness, which would include COVID, statistically significantly higher in the cloth mask arm. Even if you don't think that includes COVID, which is just dumb, but let's just say it doesn't, you're still having an increased risk of problems, of illness, of infection, of flu, which will then increase the problem. Cloth mask, it says, also had significantly higher rates of influenza-like illness. An analysis by mask showed influenza-like illness and laboratory-confirmed virus, which is important. This is like the gold star of a study right here, were significantly higher in the cloth mask group compared with the medical mask group. That's very clear. Now, this is what's the most important, in my opinion, to this discussion today. Penetration of cloth masks by particles, droplets, were almost 97%. 97% it goes through the mask. Right? They don't address that in the study. I wonder why. And then, of course, even medical masks, 44%. Okay, so if 97%, according to the NIH and the National Library of Medicine in 2015, in a random controlled trial that did everything they were supposed to, found that almost every single time the droplets went through your mask, and here's the CDC recommending cloth masks and saying that they protect you in the spread of COVID. Now, we're also going to get to the real point is that they switch over to saying that droplets are now the primary way they spread, despite the fact that every single time we've talked about this, they've said the opposite. But to finish this off, it says, this study is the first random controlled trial of cloth masks, and the results caution against the use of cloth masks. Moisture retention, reuse of cloth masks, and poor filtration may result in increased risk of infection. We're causing infectious bacterial pneumonia with these masks. It's already been shown numerous times. Doctors are beginning to speak out about it. And, of course, those have the exact same symptoms of what we think we're dealing with. I wonder if that's what's happening. It says, as a precautionary measure, cloth masks should not be recommended. And they're saying for healthcare workers, but that's the most extensive. If it's not for healthcare workers, then nobody should be using these. But here we are. Less than 5 years later, we're seeing this pushed. How do you explain that? Oh, well, they did something new. Well, no, they don't. They do not have another random controlled trial. So you don't get to say, well, here's an observational study. Here's a computer model. And say, well, now that's more important. Because it's the exact opposite of what they said when this first started. Oh, no, that's an observational study. That's not real. Here's a random controlled trial. They're hypocrites. It's politics, and they're hypocrites. SARS-CoV-2 infection, it says, is transmitted predominantly by respiratory droplets. Please tell me everybody out here should be like, what? How in the world can they just change the narrative? Because, this is common knowledge at this point. First of all, we just talked to a doctor who said that the droplets, by and large, end up with dead virus. The aerosolized particulates are how this spreads, the same way we're talking about most things. Right? And even the droplets are not what you might think. And then, of course, even though we're talking droplets, don't forget that we just showed you that 97% of the time, those droplets go through. Right? They're not countering any of this. But they're just simply stating it as fact now. Droplets generate when people cough, sneeze, or sing, or talk, or breathe, which apparently you can't do any now. CDC recommends community use of masks. This is where the play is, guys. Right? Because they're not saying necessarily they're arguing that they work. That's kind of the argument, the claim. Also realize, first of all, that this is what the New York Post is claiming, that they're insinuating that they work in every possible way, which is ultimately what they're saying. But you can see that when they read into it, it's more saying that if we can get everybody to wear masks, the more we can do it, the more the community can use it, the more it'll end up having an effect. The same argument they use for vaccines. Who could have guessed? Right? So if just a couple of you wear masks, no, it has to be everybody all the time or it doesn't work. which just doesn't make any sense. It says specifically non-valved multi-layer cloth mask. Now, I highlighted that because the remember in the beginning when all they said was when N95s were the ones that you should be wearing, right? Remember that? The valve ones, the fitted ones being the best? We all remember that. So what happened there? Because we all know now that those valves don't work two ways. That when you breathe out, it comes right out of the mask. It's only about breathing in. And even then, N95s are not big enough. The filter is not small enough to stop 0.3 microns, which is what the COVID-19 is. So those don't work. By the way, neither do any of the other ones, because those are also too small or too big. Both medical masks and cloth masks are far too big. 0.3 microns is smaller than anything any one of these cloth masks can stop. That's why they're suddenly shifting to droplets again for the third redirection to just claim that, no, well, droplets though. So now we can argue the mask work because it's no longer aerosolized particulates, which we've been saying the entire time. So they want you to wear cloth masks. Non-valved multi-layer cloth masks that will trap your moisture in your breath and increase the risk of infection, as their own study has shown. Now it says masks are primarily intended to reduce the emission of virus-laden droplets. Now that is a straight-up false statement. Source control. Masks are designed to stop, in regard to most studies, that are most doctors that I've spoken to in general, before this COVID-19 discussion, there was never discussion about masks stopping the flow of virus, because that's just dumb. Like when you really break it down at a scientific level, it is really stupid. It's not small enough to stop it. So when they're claiming that it's primarily intended to do that, that's just simply not the case. It's intended to stop large spittle and stuff from flying into an open wound while they're operating. And in other cases, it's designed to stop particulates in the air, dust and chemicals and whatever else. It is not designed to stop virus. And even in the case of particulates, it's only when they're large enough that they can be stopped. Over 0.5, I believe it was 0.3 microns. And that's why they're called N95s, because it stops only 95% of what's out there. Right? Anything under 0.3, it cannot stop, which is where this virus is. Or it might have been 0.5. In any case, it can't stop the virus, which is 0.3. And as they claim, primarily intended to reduce that thing, they're straight up lying to you, because that has only since COVID been the claim. And they also don't do that, as they'll all show you. Which, by the way, the image in this show also shows you on the side of the box, which we'll get to in a minute. But it says, masks. I want to make sure I'm not missing the little notations, because I want to show you these studies. Masks also help reduce inhalation of these droplets by the wearer. Filtration for personal protection. Now, the first thing we should be asking is, what about the aerosolized particulates? Even if they're now saying droplets are what's most important, and even if 97% of those droplets get through the mask, which already at this point it doesn't make sense, but even if, what then about the aerosolized particulates? That before you were saying was the most primary mode of transportation or transmission. I guess we're just not caring about that anymore. But sure, this is going to protect you both ways. The community benefit, and here's the point, the community benefit of masking control is due to the combination of these effects. Individual prevention benefit increases with the increasing number of people using masks consistently and correctly. The combination is talking about washing your hands, social distancing, which I'll get to in a minute. It's right down in the study. And that's an illusion. That's a fallacy. Because if you only do a study about the masks, this is your outcome. That they don't have a statistically significant effect. Or the numerous other studies that I've shown you. Which, by the way, I should do this real quick. I don't want to lose that one either. Here, oh good, it's right up here. Oh, here was the image I was talking about. I'll show that in a minute. But as always, guys, as every single time, no matter what, without fail, I don't have them there yet. I add them every time after the show. When I'm done, I add all the links, but I've been including all the mask studies for a long time now. These five studies from 2004 to 2020 all find verifiable health effects from wearing a mask, including statistically verified reduction in blood oxygen level, headaches, all kinds of stuff, hypoxemia, all in there. All five, NIH, National Library of Medicine, all of them find the same in different ways. But apparently that's fake news. Here's the cloth mask study I've already been showing you. Here's all the other studies. And each one in their own way show you exactly what I'm talking about. Or what they're saying isn't true. Right? So when they're pushing the idea of the combination of the effects, you'll find all of those studies out there that show you that when you just look at the mask and their effect on transmission, every single time, there's not a statistically significant effect on transmission. Every time. Every random controlled trial. But suddenly, when they just do a meta-analysis, they somehow find a different conclusion. Explain that to me. Oh, I can. I can tell you why, because they take it in a different direction, and they misrepresent what they're saying, and they lie to you. And of course they say, and of course using masks consistently and correctly. Correctly, meaning that most people aren't. And that's another issue that we've already talked about. But no one's been taught how to do this, right? There's no regulation. There's no monitoring of this. There's no company that makes sure that the masks are built to a certain size or a certain thickness or a certain pore size. None of that. Anybody out there in the world, Joe Schmo can go and make a company and start patting together a bunch of plastic and call it masks, and that sells. There is no regulation. So how in the world can they come out and say that these things have the effect on this virus transmission when there's 1,000 different kinds of masks out there, none of which are regulated? See, there's so many points about this that are just flat out ridiculous. Source control to block exhaled virus. It says multi-layer cloth masks block release of exhaled respiratory particulates, particles into the environment. Now, again, that's just a broad statement that could mean half of 1%, and that statement will be true. Multi-layer cloth masks block release of exhaled respiratory particles, right? So that could really be 1%, half a percent, one piece would still be a true statement that it blocks the release of particles. But to what degree? Does it help you? Does it change anything? And the point is that when you actually look at the studies they're referencing, you find out that, and here's the point, I'm only going to show you a few of them, but every single one of these studies you click on and go look at, it does not say what they're claiming that it says. Make sure I got the right one here. This one was, yeah, efficacy of masks right here. Now, okay, so this is one of the first ones they're pointing to, and they reference number 3 a lot. Here's all the references. They're all here for you to look at. They reference number 3 quite a bit in their only, what, 6-paragraph, completely changing their narrative post. But here's what it says. Efficacy of face masks, neck gaiters, and face shields for reducing the expulsion of simulated cough-generated aerosols. God, this is like the last thing that you should be using to make your statement. Not random controlled trial. It's a computer-generated manipulation, or simulation. What's this? Freudian slip. But it says here, we used a cough aerosol simulator with a head form to propel small aerosol particles. Understand that it says 0 to 7. Okay? We're talking about 0.3. Not 0, not 1, 2, 0.3. So when they say 0 to 7, I mean, arguably, I guess what they're saying there is that, that the point is that's just simply not true. And we've shown you this, that these, when it gets down to 0.3 and below, these masks do not stop it. And the mask company itself will tell you that. Well, hear what they're saying, and they just use the general 0 to 7, and that's what the CDC is pointing to. But when you actually dig into it, you find out that there is a break-off that does not work. As it says right here, 99% of cough aerosol, and that is if it's over 0.3. 59%, right? So how can you say that this is having, at the end of the day, this is what they're pointing to, and right off the bat, it says this research, first of all, is funded by the NIH, National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, U.S. Centers for Disease Control. So they funded this, you know, so that matters, but it's a computerized simulated model that was done on October 7th. So in the midst of this, while they're claiming things that are not backed up by studies, they pay somebody to do a computer simulated model, which right off the bat, you should be questioning whether there's political institutions here that do have an effect on what we're talking about, because yes, that is the case, that there are obvious examples of obvious political control over what the CDC is doing, which we'll get to in a minute. But that is not what they should be pointing to. But here they are pointing to it as the case, as it says, that this blocks those particles. But it actually doesn't, not in the sense of fighting off what they're claiming it does in regard to COVID-19. Cloth masks not only effectively block most large droplets, 20 to 30 microns, we're talking 0.3 here. This is along with the, it says cloth masks not only, oh here it is, and, but they can also block the exhalation of fine droplets and particles. Also often referred to as aerosols, smaller than 10 microns. You see how they play with it right here. Smaller than 10 is not even close to what we're talking about. And again, they cite number 3, okay, which is simply talking about, they're talking about the wrong size here, guys. That's the point. And it's a computer model in the middle of a pandemic. It's the last thing you should be citing as anything legitimate. But then they also cite number 6 in this, right here. Number 14? No, sorry. I'm sorry, guys. I'm trying to, number 5, right here. You can see the numbers I'm looking for. They're citing the numbers at the bottom. So number 5 was this one. Visualizing the effectiveness of face masks in obstructing respiratory jets. So again, this is not a random controlled trial. This is not even a real world trial. It's not even an observational trial. This is a computer simulated effort in the middle of a pandemic. This was in June. Now remember, in June, in the same time frame was when the CDC is also claiming they don't work, and I'll show you that in a minute. But it says, the masks help mitigate the risk of cross-infection via respiratory droplets. However, there are no specific guidelines on mask materials and designs that are most effective in minimizing droplet dispersal. The masks help mitigate is what they're claiming. So if your mask stops one droplet, that is what they're claiming. And here's the CDC's going, look, there's a study that says they can block fine droplets and particles that are smaller than 10. They are straight up misrepresenting what this is telling you. It says there are insufficient data on cloth-based coverings, which are being used by a vast majority of general public. Well, sure, I guess they just forgot to include that in their gigantic push for specifically cloth masks. Oops. That's the one they're referencing in that statement that I just read you. Let's keep going. It says we use qualitative visualizations of emulated coughs. So they're simulating. And sneezes to examine how material and design choices impact the extent to which droplet-laden respiratory jets are blocked. See how that's just not even close to the same thing? Loosely folded the face masks and bandana-style coverings provide minimal stopping capability for the smallest aerosolized droplets. That, in fact, ladies and gentlemen, is the exact opposite of what they're saying. Well-fitted homemade masks with multiple layers of quilting fabric and off-the-shelf cone-style masks proves to be the most effective in reducing droplet. We're not even talking aerosolized or small drop. They're talking droplets as in big pieces of spit that come out of your mouth. These masks were able to curtail the speed and range of respiratory jets significantly, albeit with some leakage through the mask material and from small gaps along the edges. Cool. That sure sounds like it's keeping you safe, doesn't it? See, this group is not trying to prove the efficacy of anything. They're just simply trying to prove the effectiveness of face masks in obstructing respiratory jets. Just, you know, putting your hand in front of your mouth, right? So this is what the CDC is trying to misrepresent. Uncovered emulated coughs were able to travel notably further than the currently recommended 6 feet guidance. Right? That's what they're finding. They're lying to you. Now it says multi-layer cloths can block up to 50 to 70% of fine droplets and particles. Again, they reference number 3, which is not what this is saying. First of all, they're talking about a simulation again, and they're talking about something that does not apply to the size of the virus that we're dealing with. And they say it again. And of course, they use 14, which I believe I don't think I actually looked at. Let's take a look at that one. Effectiveness of face masks in preventing airborne transmission. Now again, this was October, again. Now, I haven't even read this yet. Let's see what we see. Guidelines from the CDC and the World Health Organization recommend the wearing of face masks to prevent the spread, as they always start with, just to recommend. However, the protective efficacy of such masks against airborne transmission, effective, infectious, severe... Oh my God, that's incredible! I really haven't read this yet. Look at this, guys. I need to highlight this so you guys can see this. Make sure nobody misses this. This is what they're pointing to. This is number 14. Okay, number 14, which is right here. This is number 3 and 14 that they're referencing to say multi-layer cloth masks can, you see how they play this? Sure, it can. We didn't say it will, but it can both block up to 50 to 70% of the fine droplets. Fine droplets. Is that what that says? Where was it? Here. It says the protective efficacy of such masks against airborne transmission of infectious severe acute respiratory syndrome, droplets, and aerosols is unknown. Here, we developed an airborne transmission simulator, and you already see where we're going. Gosh darn it. Do you not feel sometimes like you're literally, like, how in the world are we not, how is this not the biggest thing in the world? We can all see what this is if you just open your eyes. That is not what they're claiming that it says. Let's continue. Upwards of 80% blockage has been achieved in human experiments that have measured blocking of all respiratory droplets, and again, they go to number 4. All right, we're showing you all of these. Oh, wait, actually, maybe I didn't show, I don't think I showed you 4 yet. Low-cost measurements. Let me see if I have that one open. Yeah, I did right here. So, low-cost measurements. So again, realize what they're actually claiming here. Again, I mean, it's really crazy what they're trying to say. Where was it? Upwards of 80% blockage has been achieved in human experiments that have measured all the blocking of respiratory droplets. It says, again, this was September, again, it says, led to widespread use of homemade masks and mask alternatives. It is assumed that wearing such masks reduces the likelihood for an infected person to spread the disease, but many of these mask designs have not been tested in practice. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What are they saying here? That upwards of 80% blockage has been achieved by blocking all respiratory droplets? What are we missing? That these haven't been tested? We're not sure? Cool. We have demonstrated a simple optical measurement method, another simulation, to evaluate the efficacy of masks to reduce transmission of respiratory droplets. That's it. In proof of principle studies, we compared a variety of commonly available mask types and observed that some mask types approach the performance of standard surgical masks, while some alternatives, such as neck gaiters or bandanas, which is what they're pushing on you, offer very little protection. Is anybody are you guys seeing what I'm talking about here? Our measurement setup is inexpensive and can be built on, that's okay, they're just talking about the testing. This is a simulation that found that they don't even know, that we're not sure. Right? This is incredible. But the CDC is only citing that one right there, number 4, when they make that claim. Upwards of 80%. They are lying to you. With cloth masks and some studies performing on par with surgical masks. That you did see in there, but not the first claim. Filtration for personal protection. Studies demonstrate that cloth mask materials can also reduce wearers' exposure to infectious droplets through filtration, including filtration of the fine droplets and particles on less than 10 microns. They don't even cite anything in there, so that means it was things we already referenced. None of those things make that claim. And what they're doing there is saying less than 10. Less than 10 is gigantic in regard to a virus. 0.3 is what we're talking about. So when they just broadly make it 0.10 and they claim it can stop droplets, or they're just making a claim that's completely undefined. Are we worried about something that's 9 microns or 1 micron? No, we're worried about something that's 0.3 microns, which those masks cannot stop. And anybody can prove that to you. The mask companies themselves have made that clear. N95s can't even stop it because they're not small enough. The pores are not small enough to stop it. So when they start talking about droplets and using 10 microns or lower, they're tricking you. This is a play on people who don't understand what we're dealing with. The relative filtration effectiveness of various masks has varied widely across studies, right? So think about this. As they're claiming that masks work in a broad sense, they also just kind of say, well, they vary widely across all kinds of studies, but we're going to just assert what we want you to think anyway. In large part due to variation in experimental design and particle size analyzed. So random people making random things, random sizes, but yeah, trust us, they work. In some cases, filtering nearly 50% of fine particles in less than 1 micron, right? These things, guys, are talking about things that do not apply in this case. I mean, I'm not going to go, I don't want to take all the time in the world to go through every single one. I really hope you will, because you will see exactly the same thing that I'm talking about. That every time you read through the study, it is not what they're saying. And in every single case, we know as a matter of fact that these masks do not have the ability to stop 0.3 or lower. So what are they talking about? It says some materials, such as polypropylene, may enhance filtering effectiveness by generating triboelectric charge, a form of static electricity that enhances capture of the charged particles. You know, and it also has negative side effects of breathing it in, such as we've already talked about this. Regular masks, as well as the plastic ones, have negative side effects that you breathe in. Doctors have openly talked about this, but because they weren't used ubiquitously like they're pushing on us now, it was never really an issue. But now we're having all kinds of crazy side effects from these things. And they just don't want you to realize what's happening. It says, while others, like silk, may help repel moist droplets and reduced fabric wetting, thus maintaining breathability and comfort. Do you notice how they just kind of casually leave out that it's not just about breathability and comfort, but the fact that it could actually increase infection? Moisture retention, reuse, poor filtration, increased risk of... Yeah, I guess they just don't care to keep you safe, which I thought was their job. Now it says, effectiveness of community masking are limited to observational and epidemical studies. Yeah, exactly. Like, don't you like how that's way at the bottom beneath the... They're telling you that this is not random controlled trials. These are limited observational epidemiological studies that you would have attacked us for saying were slam dunk in the reverse. It says, each new analysis demonstrated that following directives from organizational and political leadership for universal masking, new infections fell significantly. Now, here is the deception. In every single one of the cases where they did this, guess what they were also doing? Social distancing, hand washing, lockdowns. So those things are what had an effect. Right? But understand, we also had an increase in deaths because of the lockdown. So it wasn't better for anybody. But the idea is that these things did minimize the effect, because we already talked about. If you're not near anybody, obviously that's going to stop anything from spreading. So the point is that when they claim this, even, by the way, who's to say whether their claims are even accurate for how much they've lied to us? But even in that claim, the idea is that they're claiming that this place used universal masks, and look, it all went down. But also, these things will eventually all go down anyway. And that's also one of the arguments they make about vaccines, which is polio in the past. That if you actually look at the research, you'll find that when they did the vaccines, when it first started, there was an increase. But then it was because it was already on its way to tapering off. They caused an increase with the vaccine, and then it tapered off continually after that. And they claimed that was a success. And even the creator of it said that himself. Now here we are at a point where we're seeing the same thing. That they're saying that because of all of these things, that this is how it worked, but it was only masks. That's what this study or this article is making the claim of. But they know better than that, because they make the point in the conclusion. It says two of these studies and an additional analysis from data from 200 countries that include the U.S. also demonstrate reductions in mortality. And every single one of those studies, if you take the time to look, are talking about social distancing, hand washing, and masks. And then whatever other measures were taken by the people in these locations. And they say that that is because masks. Despite the fact that there are 1,000 other examples of places that have masks that aren't seeing that. But I guess they just don't want to include that. An economic analysis using U.S. data found that given these effects, increasing universal masking by 15% could prevent the need for lockdowns and reduce associated losses up to $1 trillion. So you realize how they're manipulating this, right? Because the point is that if they increase universal masking, well, then we'll just let you not have to lock down. And then we'll claim that when the lockdowns go away and that decreases the death, then we'll claim masks is what did that. Right? Because we're already showing you the correlation of lockdowns and the spike in deaths. So if they say the masks are working and they stop the lockdowns, they'll be able to gain the numbers and say, see, look, there was a drop in mortality. That's my perception of it, but it's clear based on the data. But they also say that it will also reduce the losses of money that are caused by COVID is how they're trying to frame that. No, no, no. That's your actions. The government are responsible for that loss of money. And whatever you do won't bring that back. That's a lie. Their conclusions? Experimental and epidemiological data support community masking to reduce this. Right? That's their overall conclusion based on their misrepresentation of all of this stuff. The prevention benefit of masking is derived from the combination of source control and the personal protection for the mask wearer. That's what we're talking about. The relationship between source control and personal protection is likely complementary and possibly synergistic. You don't say. You don't say. Right? Again, with 14 we're talking about in regard, you know, again, I already went over all of these, but again, I really hope you'll go through each one and think for yourself and read these out. But again, what it's saying there is that it's working with everything else we're doing. So that individual benefit increases, well, what they're also saying here is that what we need is that everybody starts doing it, well, it'll have a compounding effect. Which is not even verified and completely undefined. But, of course, as long as they get everyone doing what they want, well, they can just argue that it's better. Same thing they do with the vaccines. Well, it's supposed to be, you know, the more we use it, the less we'll need it, that we'll get immunity, but every year we need more. Doesn't make sense, does it? Don't ask questions. Same thing here. As long as everyone does it, we'll pretend like it's okay. Further research is needed, they say, to expand the evidence base. Oh, good thing we're pushing it now, though, for the protective effect of cloth masks. Can you believe that they write that in the conclusion? Further research is needed to expand the evidence base. First of all, the evidence base is quite clear that they don't have a statistically significant effect. And in particular, it says to identify the combinations of materials that maximize both their blocking and the two things that we know they don't really do, as well as fit, comfort, durability, and consumer appeal, because, of course, we care about how you look. Adopting universal masking policies can help avert future lockdowns. You see how they're blaming this? That it's not, if you just wear a mask, we won't have to lock you down. Especially if combined with other non-pharmaceutical interventions such as, and that's the main point. Regardless of anything you think I'm wrong about in this, guys, the point is that the studies do not come to the conclusions they say they do. And what they're arguing here is a complete reversal for the second time on what they said before this all started. I mean, it really is insulting to our intelligence, and we need to be able to see past this.
There's a lot of confusion among people and misinformation surrounding face masks. Can you discuss that?
The masks are important for someone who's infected to prevent them from infecting someone else. Now, when you see people and look at the films in China and South Korea, whatever, everybody's wearing a mask. Right now in the United States, people should not be walking around with masks.
You're sure of it? Because people are listening really closely to this.
Right now, people should not be walking. There's no reason to be walking around with a mask. When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better, and it might even block a droplet, but it's not providing the perfect protection that people think that it is. And often, there are unintended consequences. People keep fiddling with the mask, and they keep touching their face.
And can you get some schmutz sort of staying inside there?
Of course. But when you think masks, you should think of healthcare providers needing them and people who are ill. The people who, when you look at the films of foreign countries and you see 85% of the people wearing masks, that's fine. That's fine. I'm not against it. If you want to do it, that's fine.
But it can lead to a shortage of masks.
Exactly. That's the point. It could lead to a shortage of masks for the people who really need it.
Right. Now, again, the argument they're trying to make here, right, so we're clear, is they're continuing to try to make it seem as if he was lying to you there for a good reason. That's the argument today. Because I wanted to play the full clip so you see how it ends, where he's going, well, it's about the healthcare workers. But you hear what he says there. There's no reason that you should be walking around without a mask. It may make you feel better, right? This is all very clear. And it's not unique. We had the CDC, the World Health Organization. We had numerous governments say this. Of course, they were all lying to us for our safety. Sure. Anybody who think that, why would we be okay? Well, they lied then, but they're not lying now. The point is, guys, he was being honest with you. They do not have the effect that you think they do. But for whatever reason, they shifted the narrative, and it's clearly being driven in now. It's just incredible, incredible that we could be staring at that and hear them say it, and yet we continue to see the lies. Now, this is the one from May 5th, right? May 5th. This is something that happened. I mean, ask yourself how in the world we can have other ones they've done during this time frame, and they can come to the same conclusion, or that they can come to this conclusion, which I'll show you, and then come to a different conclusion a month later. So dramatically different with no new evidence. Please be intelligent enough to think about how that doesn't make sense. They don't just change everything. Look at what this says. Non-pharmaceutical measures for pandemic influenza. It says very clearly, we conducted systematic reviews to evaluate the effectiveness of PPE, personal protective equipment measures, on influenza virus transmission. Yes, about influenza. Now ask yourself why they did this about influenza in the middle of a COVID pandemic. Because it is how this is done. Influenza-like. Right? You have to understand that they're trying to play games with you so you don't understand what they're dealing with. This is in regard to influenza-like illness. So, they did this. And by the way, this is exactly what they're claiming in a better sense that they did here. This is a compilation of old studies that they evaluate and then say, oh, well, this is what we think. And including a few that are only models and observational, or not even, none of those were even observational. Those were all computer models. That, by the way, are constantly being shown wrong in this COVID scenario. Every computer model we've had has turned out to be wrong. Why would we trust this one? But so the point is that they did this during this and actually did random controlled trials, or they found them. Unlike this one, ask yourself why that makes sense. Here's what they did. It says, we searched four databases, Medline, PubMed, Embase, and Central, for literature in all languages. We aim to identify random controlled trials of each measure for laboratory-confirmed influenza outcomes for each of the measures because, as we know, random controlled trials provide the highest quality of evidence. Let that sink in. Okay, so they go over hand hygiene, they go over a lot of stuff, but here it is on face masks. This is the first one I showed everybody, and I believe I showed this before pretty much anybody. It says, in pooled analysis, we found no significant reduction in influenza transmission with the use of face masks. First part, in pooled analysis of all the random controlled trials, of all the different things they looked at from different languages, they found no significant reduction in transmission. That means both. Okay? One study evaluated the use of masks among pilgrims from Australia during the Hajj pilgrimage and reported no difference in the risk for laboratory-confirmed influenza virus infection in the control mask group. They go over a bunch. I'm only going to show you a couple of them, but they go one after the other and list off these studies. The overall reduction in influenza-like illness or laboratory-confirmed influenza cases in the face mask group was not significant in either studies. This is the important one. Both these last two are. Another study evaluated face mask use as a source control for infected persons only. What do you know? Exactly what they're talking about here. Source control. Source control. Source control. It's all through this thing. Source control. Right? I mean, that's one of the big talking points in there. Like, oh, it's all right here. Source control. Source control. That's all they're talking about here. They're talking about both ways, understand. But that's clearly saying this evaluated face masks in source control for infected persons only. Random controlled trials, the opposite of what the other one is. And the remaining studies provided masks for the infected persons as well as their close contacts. Make sure you hear this. None of the household studies reported a significant reduction in secondary laboratory confirmed influenza virus infections in the face mask group. Here's the important part. There is limited evidence for the effectiveness in preventing influenza transmission, either when worn by infected person for source control or when worn by uninfected persons to reduce exposure. That is a double whammy. That is both the things they're trying to claim. The CDC itself, in May, doing a massive reevaluation of all the controlled trials, found exactly the opposite of what they found a month later, with no new information. And here they are combining even more information from before and new models they did when they paid for them, and then claiming that changes it completely to a whole other standing. A child could see how ridiculous this is. It says, our systematic review found no significant effect on face masks, of face masks, on transmission of laboratory-confirmed influenza. But here we are. Understand that even the CDC even reached out to do a massive meta-analysis, as we showed you, and one of the main ones that did found that there was no effect. And guess what? They left that one out. I already showed that in a past show. You don't do that unless you're trying to hide things. They're lying to you, guys. It's everywhere. They're constantly lying to you. They're constantly keeping the information from you that these things don't work, that they increase the risk. And all of their studies from the NIH and the National Library of Medicine are showing you exactly that, let alone the reality that the box themselves has always said this from the beginning. And I told you, you have to realize how crazy this is. Just so you can't, in case you can't see it. And this is such a contentious point. Oh, it's fake news. How in the world is it fake news to show the side of a box? This product is an ear loop mask. This product is not a respirator, it says, and quote, will not provide any protection against COVID-19 or other viruses or contaminants. Now, this is just one kind of mask, right? It's not an N95, but this is, if not, cloth masks are the most prominent, which cloth masks are way worse than these. This is the one you buy at Walgreens, okay? This is the one that would argue, this and cloth are the vast majority of what people are wearing. The reason it says that, and first of all, you have to realize that it says COVID-19, meaning that the person who, the owners of this company put this on after COVID-19 started. So, the point being that they knew that they didn't have an effect, and this is their liability, this is their ability, they're trying to get out ahead of this, so there's no liability here. So you can't have a waterfall of lawsuits to come after everybody gets issues and sick and all these problems start happening and they come and sue the box company or the mask company because they didn't say they didn't work. This is them knowing that they don't work the way they're claiming and getting ahead of it. That's what this is. And of course, all they claim is that you're somehow misrepresenting truth by showing exactly what the box company itself stated. I'm not misrepresenting what it says. I'm reading exactly what it says. Will not provide any protection against COVID-19 or other viruses or contaminants. Now, the reason they tried to claim this was fake news is because they're saying, well, it doesn't protect you, but it protects your grandma. Except that that's not true. And we just showed you that, and I've continued to show you that, that they don't. 97% of the time goes through. Or the fact that they showed you here that they have no effect one way or the other. And this is also the CDC. What? Right? I mean, what are we talking about? So the point is that the information has come out enough for you to understand why they did this. And yet, they're still trying to lie to you. They're still trying to force it down your throat for, I think, very nefarious reasons. But really, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I think because we don't know for sure. The intentions we could think about forever. But we need to know and we need to understand and we really need to come to peace with is that they are lying to you. It just couldn't be more clear. Now, I have these in here as well. I think I had a couple more I was going to show you. I think we talked about that one. Oh, here is the bigger one, just so you can see the full study, right? Because I just want to show you that these are all just simulations. These are all computer simulations, that none of this 3D model graphics and stuff, and none of this has to do with what they're telling you it does. I think we read that one, too. Here's another one. There's another one they reference. Face coverings and respiratory tract droplets dispersion. We investigate the effectiveness of surgical masks and single-layer cotton masks on mitigating dispersion of large respiratory droplets, and then it says non-aerosol. Right? So the opposite of what they're making claims of in there, despite the fact they start the whole thing, as like we kind of reiterated, as claiming that droplets are how this spreads, but then go on to assert throughout the whole thing that it's about the smaller ones. That doesn't even make sense. I even just thought of that. It just doesn't make sense at all. But it says, we tested a mannequin ejecting fluorescent droplets and human volunteers in speaking coughing conditions. Not in a controlled trial, a model. Guys, this is a joke. This is a flaming joke. They want you to be tricked by all of this. Now, again, more, I could go off on this for so long. I mean, even that I feel was way longer than I intended. There's so many that I could talk about. I mean, again, there's so many of these down here that are relevant to what we're getting into. Take the time to read them. There's so much. What about add on to this whole discussion the idea of negative health effects, right? Yeah, they protect you, but we're pretending that it's fake news that they have any kind of health effects. Despite the fact that these things are all very clear, that they tell you, that they very clearly have examples of hypercapnic hypoxia with potential increase of acidic environment. These are also from the NIH and the National Library of Medicine. It's very clear, guys. They found that there's health effects, there's negative health side effects, and yet they act like it's fake news. How do you explain that? That's the one I just showed you. I just want to show you one more since I brought it up. I always forget which one of them. This one's the best. The worst, as it were. The physiological impact of N95s, which again were the ones that in the beginning were saying were the best. We're just simply talking about masks in general. Something, and understand, the N95s only, the vent allows you to breathe out freely. But breathing in is the problem. So this is half as bad in this regard, right? Because the other masks block it both ways, or have an effect on your breathing both ways. But this says, they were recruited for, it says 70% of the patients showed a reduction in partial pressure of oxygen, PaO2, and 19% developed various degrees of hypoxemia. This is, guys, it's just, it's right here in black and white. Hypoxemia, meaning an abnormally low concentration of oxygen in the blood. What else do you need to see? This is the National Library of Medicine and the NIH. But it's fake news though, right? They're not even arguing this is, they're just saying this is not true. No one's coming out with other studies. The point is, because it's corrupt, guys. This is an old article, and as I pointed out a minute ago, we've covered this as well. This is from Children's Health Defense. CDC scientists expose agency corruption. It says, last month, the Hill published a letter sent by more than a dozen senior Center for Disease Control scientists charging the agency with nursing an atmosphere of pervasive research fraud. Everyone's going, oh, Children's Health Defense, they're anti-vax. That's fake news. Okay, well, here's the Hill. Are you okay now? Can we continue? The CDC is being influenced by corporate and political interests. Oh, now it's okay. Now we can believe it because it's on the Hill. Concerns about the inner workings of the CDC have mounted in recent months amid disclosures of cozy corporate alliances. Now a group of more than a dozen senior scientists have reportedly lodged an ethics complaint alleging the federal agency, the CDC, is being influenced by corporate and political interests in ways that shortchange the taxpayers. This was 2016. Guess what happened? Nothing. A group calling itself the CDC Scientist Preserving Integrity, Diligence, and Ethics in Research, or CDC SPIDER, put a list of complaints in writing in a letter to the CDC chief of staff and provided a copy of the letter to the public watchdog organization, U.S. Right to Know. The members of the group have elected to file the complaint anonymously for fear of retribution. I bet you, I can almost promise you that they got sniffed out, and that's why we're not hearing anything about it. It says, it appears that our mission is being influenced, they say, and shaped by outside parties and rogue interests. How relevant is that to right now? They tried to tell you in 2016. They are being influenced by rogue interests and outside parties. What does that mean? I don't know. Let your imagination run wild. That's pretty scary. The group right now that's influencing this direction and lying about what they're telling you, it should be scary. And congressional intent for our agency, they say, is being circumvented by some of our leaders. Interesting. 2016. Think about it. What concerns us most is that it is becoming the norm and not the rare exception. These are people inside the CDC telling you that they are allowing politics to influence what they think and what they say and what they announce. These questionable and unethical practices threaten to undermine our credibility and reputation as a trusted leader in public health. That's long gone. Check this out. Definitions. So again, think masks, right? Think about how masks work and how they affect us or the definition of the terms they use. Well, definitions were changed. The data was cooked to make the results look better than they were. Please think about where we are right now. An internal review that involved staff across CDC, so across multiple locations, occurred, and its findings were essentially suppressed, so media and or congressional staff would not be aware of the problems. And guess what? Nothing happened. 4 years later, here we are. And surprise, surprise, they're lying, cheating, and stealing like they always were, like these scientists tried to tell us. It's incredible. It's really incredible that we have all the tools in front of us, which is what I'm always trying to do, which is why they delete us from places like YouTube, because they're scared of this. They are desperately scared of the truth and your ability to be smart enough to think through it for yourself. They are terrified. And that's why they censor people like me. Because I'm not telling you what to think. I'm giving you tools by which to think, with which to think. You know, use these. Think about it. Research. Ask questions. Come to your own conclusions. That scares them. I covered this. This is actually John Rappaport's article from back in 2017. But it's not news. This has been around. It's news that it was suppressed and that the media, the mainstream journalists, completely hid it from your view. Because they're not journalists. They're propagandists. And, of course, to finish this off, why don't we switch it up for a second so you can see me, since I haven't done that the whole time. But let's finish this off with the last couple of discussions here. Let's see, how long have we been going? About two. It's a short one, huh? But let's see. This is about the vaccine here, and this is an important discussion. Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla sold millions in stock on the same day of the vaccine reveal. So this is the time that he said, oh, well, 90% effective. Which, of course, you know I'm going to have to talk on again. I just can't let that go. But they sold the stock. Do you remember when Moncef Salawi? I should have looked this up before. Sold all of his stock for Moderna. Where was it? Or was it GlaxoSmithKline? I forget which one. It was Moderna, I'm pretty sure. Oh, that's even right, though. But I remember he sold a bunch of it. Let's say to sell, it says that they were worth $10 million, but after stock went up, they're now valued at 12.4. So he sold a bunch of stock, made a bunch of money, but he kept some of it. Derek's article talked about this, which is corrupt. It's his retirement fund. Like he's some old, cheeky little, you know, just a little happy guy. You know, this is a guy involved with some really horrifying stuff. And a guy who was flagrantly violating conflicts of interest involved with something that's very serious. But then they kind of just be quirky about it. I mean, like, oh, it's my retirement fund. Don't take an old man's retirement fund. That's ridiculous. So he's kept some stock in regard to a company in which he is making choices about whether or not they succeed. Good times. Now, of course, that may change if Biden gets elected because of his task force and so on. But we just showed you that their task force is not much better. And in fact, it could be much, much worse. But at the end of the day, the same agenda will be pushed forward. But the point is, we saw Moncef Salawi do the same kind of thing. Now here's Pfizer screaming that, oh my gosh, this 90%, and then he jumps in and sells 62% of his stock. Does that screams manipulation. You know, the same way that Moderna did that, and then it tanked because it was kind of a misrepresentation of how it was working. We have antibodies, and it's like, no, you don't really. This was a lie. They kind of misrepresented how it worked. Same thing here. Pfizer says 90% effective, but what they really are talking about is trials that were designed to succeed. And I'll show you again. But if he's selling 62% of his stock, I think that's because Pfizer knows that they're misrepresenting the truth. And they know that this is probably one of the last opportunities they're going to have to cash out before the illusion is either exposed or potentially they get caught. Sure, that's my take on it. But regardless, when a CEO sells 62% of a stock involved with what's considered to be one of the most valuable things happening in the world right now, yeah, it's a little bit suspicious, don't you think? Pretty ridiculous. But the point is, guys, that I keep trying to show you, and I know I've read this many times, but I every time I'm hoping to catch like one more person out there. Do you need to realize what this is? Forbes is the one that put this out. COVID-19 vaccine protocols reveal that the trials, the safety trials, are designed to succeed. Now realize we're talking about Pfizer, who just said 90% effective and the CEO sells more than half of his stock. Understand, this is why. Interim analysis success requires a 70% efficacy. So the point is that in the interim analysis of these vaccines, they need 70% efficacy for them to be able to deem it a success. It says the vaccine or placebo will be given, or normally is, did I miss that part? That's weird. Oh, it's right there. I did miss it. So here's right above it. So the vaccine efficacy is typically proved by large clinical trials over several years, which is obviously not what's happening now. Rushing this out as fast as possible and then monitoring your body for 2 years. That's how they're doing this. It says the pharmaceutical companies intend to do this, or usually do, with 30 to 60,000 people. That's how these trials work. But it says the first surprise was found upon closer reading when you found out that, guess what? It at most includes 64 people. 164. So it went from 30 to 60,000 to at most 164 people. So you realize how dramatically that changes what 90% efficacy actually translates to. But it says the interim analysis success, 70%. It says for Moderna, the initial interim analysis was based on the results of only 53 people. That's it. Moderna's success was 13 people out of those 53. Right? So as long as 13 people or less get sick, they're good. Now, just to jump through this quick, Johnson & Johnson, only 77 people, 18 or less. Same analogy, same narrative. And AstraZeneca, it's only 50 people for 12 or less, right? So this is supposed to be 60,000 people, and each one of these companies is using 100 or more and saying, as long as 12 or so people get sick or less, then we're good. And then translating that into percentages, which is ridiculous. But here's the worst part. Pfizer, their success requirements. 32 people with a success margin of 7 or less. Okay, so if 7 or less people get sick, that's considered a success. Now ask yourself this, if 90% efficacy is about 7 or less, that means that if one person gets sick, you can claim you've got 90% efficacy. But 1 in 7 is not really 90% in regard to how the world perceives it. 1 in 7 is a hell of a lot of people. But you see, it doesn't really matter because it's about gaming numbers to make you be okay and not have vaccine hesitancy that they're all so afraid of, despite every reason in the world to be hesitant about the vaccine they're producing. But sure, 90%, and then he sells 62% of his stock. Anybody else getting the picture? The primary analyses are a bit more expanded, so that's interim. Primary, which you think might be more? Nah, it's not really. 164 people for Pfizer. That's it. 100 for AstraZeneca, 151 for Moderna, 154 for Johnson & Johnson. That is it. They're testing, Pfizer tests 164 people in its primary analysis. And if they get 60%, not even 70, but 60 in the secondary, primary, of 164, that's considered success. And you realize that 90% efficacy in that small amount does not translate to the same thing that you think it does. The second surprise, it says, of these protocols is how mild requirements for contracted COVID-19 symptoms are. A careful reading reveals the minimum qualifications for the case is a PCR test. So based off the right off the bat, you're using a test that could be wrong. And then just mild symptoms. These include headache, fever, cough, or nausea. These vaccine trials are testing to prevent common cold symptoms. Is that what we think we're doing? These trials certainly do not give assurance that the vaccine will protect from the serious consequences, if there are any. Johnson & Johnson, and that's kind of the point, right? So if we're not really in much danger and they pump this thing out and claim, well, look, no one's dying now, even though arguably maybe not before, well, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Look, it worked. Maybe it wasn't happening at all. Johnson & Johnson is the only trial that requires the inclusion of severe COVID cases. That's it. But yay, Pfizer, they're working. And then he quietly sells all his stock, 62%. Incredible. Well, China's vaccine trial was halted in Brazil as well after serious adverse events. But don't worry, guys, it's all for your safety, despite this being about the flu and nobody wants to talk about it anymore. Well, as Bird on a Mission pointed out, exactly, Ian Brown says, it's incredible that fully grown adults would consider taking a rushed vaccine made by a firm with a track record of killing kids and paying billions in fines worldwide. That is the most true statement I think I've ever seen in this whole process. I can't believe, I'm right there with you, Ian, how in the world are grown people not thinking past what the CDC has to tell them, despite things like this, or the fact that they've got caught lying before, or the fact that exactly what he said, that the companies working with them, like Johnson & Johnson or Pfizer, have obvious track records of lying to you about safety. But here we are trusting their word on safety. Sort of the way that we're trusting the companies that run voting machines on how well they work, even though the voting machines are tied to people with interest over whoever is running. This is crazy. We are in a position in the world right now where it's never been more clear that we are being gamed, and the whole thing is rigged, and the whole thing is a scam. And I think we need to see that more than ever. It just really cannot be more clear. Now, the last part I wanted to share is the idea of the digital passports, the immunity passports more specifically. Ticketmaster reportedly planning mandatory COVID-19 vaccine testing policy for concert attendance. Pretty crazy. Now, of course, this is what all the naysayers, it's not yet, they didn't do it yet. Cool, I guess that means everything, right? Because it's not like they're telling you they're going to do it. That doesn't mean they're going to do it, though. Sure, it doesn't guarantee they'll do it. But just like before, Trump will never do that. Oh, they're not going to make you wear masks. Oh, they're never going to make you lock in your house. Every time they say that, they'll never do this, and they do it. They go, well, it's for your safety. You know, it's like there's never an answer with these people. This is happening, and we all see it happening. Don't listen to people that are too afraid to allow their logic to rule, right? This is clearly happening, and they're telling you right now, Ticketmaster, which is in control of, like, every ticket and venue and concert and, I mean, everything. They're saying that you're going to have a test or a vaccine to be able to buy a ticket. It says the leading concert promoters in the live events industry are preparing realistic policies for how they can responsibly begin to welcome fans back inside venues without fear of viral spread or legal consequences. A report shared by Billboard on Wednesday details that Ticketmaster is working to develop multi-step guidelines for how fans can purchase tickets when concerts and festivals return, possibly as soon as the summer and fall of 2001. Think about how far away that is. Here's where we are. Right? And they're already pretending, we won't even be able to access these things until the fall of 21. I mean, gee, 15 days to flatten the curve, right? And then 9 months, a year later. Do you realize how long this has been going on? Isn't this supposed to be curved by different timings or different weather? No, it's just ridiculous. This is continued based on the illusion of the media and the illusion of your government. That's how this is continued. It says it's working to develop multi-step guidelines for how they can. Of course, the point in that is that we're talking about tests that will then transition into vaccines. And that's what they're telling you here, and what all these other companies, like WiseKey, I just talked about, is already stating, that they're going to use the tests, and then we'll transition to vaccines once that's available. That's the stated purpose. Remember when that was fake news by the blue checks? They'll still tell you it's fake news if you post on Twitter, because they're doing what they're told to do, apparently, or they're too afraid or too dumb to know what they're looking at. It says the current plan, which the result report details is still in a development phase and not yet an official company policy, would be comprised of three stages. First, any fan who purchases a ticket to any event would have to prove they have received the COVID-19 vaccine or show a negative test. Now realize we're using tests that have a high false positive, and I can almost guarantee the moment the vaccine comes out, suddenly we'll be able to address how there's false positives, and the test won't be able to be used, and it will only be vaccines. But we won't address how that very comment undermines the need for the vaccine, but it's too late, it's already out, we need it all. I know that sounds crazy, but watch that come true exactly as I said it. The point being that the test has a high false positive, and it will probably segue into only needing the vaccine before you can get in. But even then, how is it that you need to be forced to have a test? Where, by the way, they have access to your DNA, which some people pretend like that doesn't mean anything, but it very much does. There's a reason 23andMe and all these different companies were harvesting your DNA and the whole genome project. There's a reason that was happening. But of course, we're conspiracy theorists because you're, too high-minded and stuffy to be, I'm not a child. I can't think about things like that. You can't be logical about things. Nobody conspires to steal from us. Oh, you're so smart. It's just, they have such a high perception of themselves. And realistically, are some of the most unintelligent people out there when it comes to what's sitting right in front of them. Depending on the COVID-19 health regulations and testing capabilities in their specific region or state, fans would likely be able to get tested on the day prior or even the day of the event at sanctioned lab or out there. That's just a hypothetical. The point is that what if you can't get a test? What if they're too busy? What if you can't schedule it in time? Well, then you don't get a ticket. Period. So now you have a whole other process you have to go through before you can even go buy a ticket for the concert you want to go to. That's your new normal, guys, and it's not going away. After undergoing a test, the ticket holder would have to permit the lab health clinic to send the results to a third-party health pass company, like the ones we talked about, like Common Pass, like Wise Pass, or Wise Key, forget which one it was, or all the other ones. The immunity passport companies that have been trying to push this in for a decade, and now they have COVID-19 justified. They were using it for other things before, now it's being pushed in here. It's all about surveillance and control of you. That's what it's always been about. The contact tracing, all these programs were all applied to prisoners, to terrorists, to all kinds of things, mass shooters, and now they're being used to track you for your safety. Does that make sense? Or tracking cattle, for instance? All these things have been used for those purposes. None of those things are for their safety, but now it's for your safety, though. Just don't think too hard into it. The third-party health company would have to verify that the subject is tested negative or can prove they've been vaccinated to Ticketmaster. So now, Ticketmaster is now a privy to your medical information, so you can go to, go see, I can't even think of a band right now, go see whatever bands are playing these days, which would then issue the ticket holder with the proper credentials needed to access the event, likely via the Ticketmaster app. Ticketmaster is also reportedly planning its new Smart Event Solution program, which would help both promoters and fans manage the post-COVID-19 era. Right, which is going back to normal when the vaccine comes? Doesn't sound like it. That sounds like a whole new time after that's done. Right? All the lies they keep feeding you about going back to normal when the vaccine, that's never been the truth, and everyone is telling you that. The point is the social distancing policies, they're creating, what they're talking about, smart events are like the bubbles you've seen. Right? Or the little mini stages where you can stand around other people. They're forcing you not to be close to anybody. In a really, really ridiculous way when it seems to be wildly unnecessary, I think entirely, but at the very least for anybody under 80, if you're listening to what they're saying. In addition to new guidelines, it says on delayed entry and contact tracing opportunities should a breakout occur, right? So they have this whole thing set up. The safety parameters for concert venues will be mutually agreed upon by state, regional health officials, and promoters like Live Nation. Your whole world is going to be different. It already is, guys. They pulled the trigger without your consent. Oh, you thought you were going to get to vote on changes like this? Nah, you're not really in a democracy. You guys should see that by now. Of course, globalist Klaus Schwab says we'll never return to normal after COVID. Right, the guy leading the Great Reset. I wonder what he knows. It's just incredible. All we need to do is listen. Pay attention. Because they're telling you right now. As Ivor Cummings points out, and I've actually covered this already. I covered this back when I first saw this, but it's important to reiterate again. Here's the World Health Organization in 2019 saying the opposite of what we're doing. As Ivor points out, the World Health Organization as recently as November 2019, right when this was starting, I argue, recommended against track and trace, against contact tracing. They recommended against quarantine. No consideration was even given to general lockdowns of healthy citizens, as it was simply too ridiculous to contemplate. But I guess now with new information, they changed to sort of now masks work because we say they do. Same thing. They said these don't work. We shouldn't do lockdowns. We shouldn't be doing track and trace. We shouldn't be doing quarantine because they don't work. You can see, I covered all of this. It says it's not recommended to reduce transmission. Active contact tracing is not recommended because it says there's no obvious rationale for it in most member states. But then they do it. And, well, rather the whatever entity is leading everybody makes that the case, and then they just go along with it. I mean, think about how stupid it is to argue that in a matter of months, they literally changed their entire policy they've had for years because of what? Because of some study they really quickly did right in the middle of COVID-19? Or because there was a political move that happened?